There's a question I've had in my head for a while. Maybe you did too, but maybe not. Why were the two thieves crucified? They were just thieves, not murderers. Yet a murderer was supposed to be there. His name was Barabbas. According to tradition, one condemned prisoner could be released. When Pilate was interrogating Jesus, he could find no fault in him. Even his wife had warned him against condemning Jesus. Pilate had a stroke of genius, though. Let the Jews decide who they wanted freed. So he chose a murderer, a man nobody would want free, thus eliminating the responsibility of selecting the prisoner. And I guess I did, just remind me. Thus eliminating the responsibility of selecting the prisoner and convicting an innocent man. You didn't want innocent blood on your hands. However, the religious people were not about to miss this opportunity. You got to remember, folks, it wasn't just everyday people out there. You had Caiaphas. You possibly had Paul or Saul at the time. You had people like that who wanted Jesus gone. They were not about to miss this opportunity. They cried, "Free Barabbas," but screamed, "Crucify," concerning Jesus. This was a direct violation of the law. Numbers 35:31 says no ransom was to be provided for a murderer. None. You could not ransom a murderer. You could not have anything take the place of a murderer. They were not permitted to exchange Jesus for Barabbas. Dumbfounded, Pilate ceremoniously washed his hands of the innocent blood. In Matthew 27:25, the people cried out, "His blood be upon us and our children." That's quite a statement, isn't it? The people cried out in hysteria with this statement, not fully realizing the possible results. These people had become so swayed by rhetoric that it never occurred to them, he may very well be who he says he is. The Jews had taken full responsibility for the shedding of innocent blood. Their religious hatred fueled by demonic forces. They ignored the law. See, there was I can't imagine what Israel was like that day, especially Jerusalem, because of the full demonic powers that were at play. We know that it said Judas, Satan entered him. The enemy, he became controlled by a spirit. How about Caiaphas? How about all the other priests? How about the man who beat Jesus? How about the guards? The demonic forces that were in play that day would just astound us. Genesis 9:4, Deuteronomy 12:23, and Leviticus 17:11-14 all say the same thing. Life is in the blood. One does not simply ignore God and go on living in peace and prosperity. In the year 70 AD, Rome finally had its fill with the rebellious, stiff-necked people from Israel. They sent troops to burn and utterly destroy Jerusalem. Those who survived were scattered to the winds. Israel, who had been a nation, had not been a nation self-governed for quite some time, ceased to exist. Rome changed the name of the region to Palestina. If you ever wondered where it came from, Rome did it to wipe away the Jews. This was to discourage any Jewish settlements. Rome did not have the patience of the great I am. Fast forward to the year 1948. World War II is over. 6 million Jews have been killed. The world is still in shock over the atrocities coming out. Israel is reestablished as a nation with its own government and was given back land that had once been theirs. The absence of the world scene was approximately 1,878 years. When those people in the crowd during the trial of Jesus shouted, "Let his blood be upon us and our children," they took upon themselves the responsibility of innocent blood. This should never have been something they did in such a flippant manner. Their own law required blood for blood in the case of innocent blood. Exodus 20:13 says, "Thou shalt not murder." Deuteronomy 19:10 says, "Lest innocent blood be shed in the midst of your land, which the Lord your God has given you as an inheritance, and thus the guilt of bloodshed be upon you." The guilt of the blood of Jesus Christ was upon the Jews, and it came due. Well, I don't agree with that, Pastor. Don't care. It's there. Look at it. If there had only been 500 people in that crowd, it is mathematically possible. I ran the numbers. 6 million would have been about right. Every person, it said, upon us and our children. It wasn't just us. They spread it through generations. You didn't have to go in our children and children and children and children. Your children are everybody below you. Second Chronicles 6:16 through 17 calls for the turning away from these wicked ways and seek forgiveness for bloodshed. Even to this day, I do not believe Israel has repented. Proverbs 6:17 lists hands that shed innocent blood as something God hates. Why would God specifically say that? He didn't say, "I really hate liars," per se. I mean, tongues that tell fables, yes. I guess kind of the same thing. But innocent blood. In this one act, those in the crowd took on the legal ramification of shedding innocent blood. In all cultures, shedding innocent blood is illegal. You don't kill somebody who's innocent. You know, and many people, just because of teachings and misunderstandings of the Bible and even historical writings, have always pointed at Sodom and Gomorrah as just being sexually perverted, and that's why God killed them. Oh, for crying out loud, why are we still here? California itself is responsible for about 90% of the pornography coming out. What is going on? Because that wasn't it. It was the shedding of innocent blood. In the Jewish culture, there was a person who could bring justice to the innocent or for the innocent. This person was called the Avenger of Blood. The Hebrew word is Gaol. This is usually a close family member. It would be their job to chase the person down and take their life. If somebody had just killed your father and you could catch up to him and kill them, you were innocent. You were avenging the blood. That is until they could come to a city of refuge to be tried. If found guilty, they were executed by the Avenger of Blood. If found innocent, meaning not done in hatred, or it was accidental, but definitely not premeditated. Even God warned Cain, "Sin lies at your door." They were to be escorted to one of six cities of refuge to live. I find it interesting that there's six being the number of man, 6 million Jews, again, number of man, six. And they were to stay and live inside the city walls for as long as the current high priest lived. If found outside of the city, the Avenger could kill them and not be tried for murder. So if somebody killed your dad, they were found innocent by, it wasn't premeditated, they just got in a fight, but you really were still burning, you could live in the city, you could live outside the city, and wait for them to come out until that high priest died. Now imagine the normally recognized government seat filled with people corporately agreeing to take innocent blood. The highest of religious leaders, Caiaphas, the high priest, he was the big dog. God will not be mocked, Galatians 6:7. If you plant a seed, you will reap that harvest. You take innocent blood, it will be required back. Approximately 1,870 years later, Nazi Germany would begin the slaughter of innocent people. 6 million approximately. And again, it is mathematically possible. Many of these people were just living their lives, raising children and creating memories, until a demonic force came over, not just Hitler, but many of his henchmen. The innocent blood of Jesus had a reckoning. Even God couldn't stop it. He placed it there. God knew it was coming, and he had a plan that the demonic realm had no clue of, to reinstate Israel on the world stage as a nation once again, and just in time for the return of the Messiah. In all of this, God had a plan. Jesus would be the ransom for a murderer, a taker of innocent blood, hung between two thieves. Jesus took the place of Barabbas, whose name means son of the father in Aramaic. His name meant son of the father, and we had the son of the father. He would take on the responsibility of the shedding of innocent blood. While his blood washes away our sins, he personally took the punishment for murder. The highest crime in any nation. Well, treason's higher, Pastor. They all have a death penalty. And anymore, treasoners usually find out that they just disappeared to an island. As he hung on that cross, surrounded by two thieves who were condemned to die, this was not normal punishment for thieves. However, under Roman law, a thief convicted of manifest theft could be executed. What this means is they were caught in the act, or still in the possession of the stolen goods. These thieves didn't get away. They were caught red-handed. So why was a murderer and two thieves to be the center of the crucifixion narrative? What was the first sin, ultimately? Thievery. Thievery. They took something that didn't belong to them. Even God said, don't even touch it. It goes right into play with what Jesus said earlier, later on in life. If you even look at a woman in that way, you've already done it. God was telling them back then, don't even tempt yourself. Don't even touch it. Oh, if I just touch the fruit. I just want to touch it. Two people took something not belonging to them. When God confronted them about it, he said, who told you you were naked? What was the name of the tree? The knowledge of good and evil. We could substitute a word for knowledge, revelation. The Bible says both their eyes were opened. Two. It happened after Adam. The covenant was finally broken. But there were two people, and both their eyes were opened to what they were doing. The nakedness wasn't sin, it was the thievery. They now had revelation of things previously not given to them. They were manifest thieves. They were caught red-handed. When God came to them, they had the revelation still in their heads, and we would always have that revelation. I'm naked. But you see, he bought us robes of righteousness. The man Barabbas, convicted of murder, seemingly got off scot-free, and unless he repented, changing his ways, most likely got caught again. As we read Genesis, we are quickly led to a new generation of people and introduced to sibling rivalry. Cain murders his brother Abel. the first hardcore sin recorded in the Bible. It wasn't stealing, which was required paying back many times over. That is the law. It wasn't even adultery. It was the taking of innocent blood. The same violation Barabbas was convicted of, and Jesus ultimately took his place. The scene on Golgotha was a representation of all sin. The sins committed by Adam and Eve and Cain. Adam and Eve opened a door, Cain walked through it and committed the heinous crime of shedding innocent blood. Jesus took a punishment for something he did not do. Getting fashion sense up here. What the devil wants us to do is to forget what Jesus did. He took a punishment upon himself. The sin of stealing was bad enough. In our world, it's the proverbial Pandora's box. But it opened the way. The old saying, give them an inch and they'll take a mile. What Jesus had to do had to set the record straight. How many times have we stolen something from God? Traded it for religious trinkets. We forget that what Jesus did he did for the whole world, to include the Muslims, the Buddhists, the Hindus, the witches, the Satanists. He did it for us all. He did not do it just so that the Jews could crucify him. They were used to prove the point. Religion won't get you there. We have to extend grace and mercy to everybody. That price was astronomical. As I was stating earlier in my prayer, from a father's standpoint, even though they were waiting for Jesus, the Bible says he could have called legions of angels. From the standpoint of the father, I'm going to ask all you fathers, if you had the power to stop something from happening to one of your children, it took such discipline and love for you, for God not to vaporize this planet. Our entire solar system gone. But he didn't. And even to this day, no matter how many people say God doesn't exist, he gets proven that he does exist when people sit down and look at the facts. He didn't leave a trail behind for us. No sample of his DNA for us to confirm. Where are you going to get a DNA sample when the Father is the Holy Spirit? Does anybody have a sample of that on a shelf somewhere? No. We keep looking for the facts in all Jesus and God has ever. I just want you to trust me. Believe me. God has never lied to me. We've walked in some scary places before, as I'm sure you have. But he never left me. He just said, trust me, son. You'll come out okay. You'll come out stronger. That's what God did. When Jesus came through, we don't know what God ever said to Jesus back, do we? When he was praying, Lord, let this cup pass. How many of you fathers, when your son is talking to you, do you ignore him? You talk back, don't you? You engage your children. And yet, we don't have it because we don't know, because Jesus never shared it with anybody. I'm pretty sure God said something like, it'll be okay, son. You'll be stronger. And so will they. When he got up Sunday morning out of that grave, a 2-ton stone had been rolled. It had been sealed and rolled away. And Jesus wasn't recognizable. People that knew him didn't recognize him. Mary's like, sir, please tell us where he is. And Jesus is like, Mary, sir, Mary. He had to say it in just a way that Mary knew it. I believe that he may even had a certain inflection for her name. I knew this woman, her name was Mary. She has since passed away, but anytime she'd call me or leave me a message, Art, this is Mari. I always knew she's from Kentucky. She always had her name Mari. I always knew who it was. She never even had to address, just the way she said my name was enough. But that would have been enough. And I believe that's what happened that morning. He's alive, folks. And he lives in you and me. And he is coming back. And we better make sure, first off, that we're walking in the robes of righteousness that we're supposed to be in. And that we're helping others. Our job is to be leading the lost to Jesus, pointing the way. And I'm going to tell you right now, they look at our lives. And if we're unfaithful, they say, why? You better be faithful. Because, you know, Jesus did pay the price for murder he didn't do. It had to be settled. You do remember Cain wasn't killed. God marked him and set him to roam the earth. Jesus would ultimately settle all those debts. But I believe manifest theft and shedding of innocent blood led the way to where we hate each other just because we look different. We sound different. Touching that stupid apple was Pandora's box of sin. All right, we're going to pray for these people.